Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John concludes a series entitled, The Mark of the Beast. Jesus expects his followers to walk in the supernatural. He stated as much in the Gospels of Mark and John. The baptism of the Holy Spirit was so important that he didn't want believers to begin their Christian service without it. Spirit-filled believers should be living in the supernatural, and in this way you don't have to fear sickness, death, or even the Antichrist. Jesus went so far as to say that Christians would be able to do greater exploits than him. Now is the time to grow in faith and flex your spiritual muscles so that you can be useful in the kingdom of God. This message is entitled, Living in the Supernatural. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Well, praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church worldwide. And I'm going to finish up the sermon here today on the series, The Mark of the Beast. Living in the supernatural. Now, I have painted in this series a grim picture of the end times and what hope is there for Christians. Where can we go and how can we survive? And this is a good dress rehearsal right now as we are facing the coronavirus. How can we survive? How can we thrive? And how can we do things? And how can we stay away from being fearful? Let's pray right now. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you. I want to praise you. I want to bless you right now. And I'm asking you, Lord, that you will anoint me, that I will speak the words that you give me, anoint the people listening, so that, Father God, they will be able to receive it, apply it, and be victorious in their personal lives. And I want to thank you and I want to praise you for that right now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. When I lived in Salt Lake City from 1963 to 1969, I came back to Christ in 65, joined the Southern Baptist Church in Salt Lake City, Central Baptist Church. It was a good Southern Baptist church, solid on the Word, and we believed everything in the Word, except we didn't believe that it was for now. And I remember the church was so small, we had one deacon. And he was a lieutenant in the U.S. Army from the South, from Georgia. And his wife, and he had come out here, he was stationed at Fort Douglas in Salt Lake City. And I remember one day, we were going to work at a church building, so we were driving down to Sears on a Saturday morning to buy some material, and we had a discussion about healing. And we were talking about, you know, we haven't seen anyone healed. It says in the Bible people can get healed, but we've never seen it. So this deacon and I came to a fantastic conclusion, and this is the conclusion we came to. Most likely, God is healing somebody on the earth. We don't know where. And that was a conclusion we came to. Well, I came down to California in the fall of 1969. And I was thrust into the midst of the Jesus movement and the full gospel businessman mixed in with Catherine Kuhlman, Oral Roberts, and a number of other people that were preaching faith and having miracle crusades and so on. And I came down and my eyes got this big and I said, wow, this is real. And there was a lot of miracles that I saw. And suddenly I decided, I'm just going to start believing this. So I always had a problem with a hernia. I had a surgery when I was 5 years old for hernia. Ripped it up. Had another surgery at the age of six. I was told, you know, that you got a baby that you're always going to be weak. So I'll baby that. And I remember sometimes in 69, early 70s, I went to the seminary. I had a little company. I was cleaning houses. I cleaned about six or seven houses a week. And I was in one house. I turned on family radio. I had music going there. And I was lifting chairs. And I remember lifting up a chair and, ah! You know, if you got a hernia, you know when you rip it. And I, oh, man, I went like this. So I managed to finish up cleaning, went home. And I said, God, you know, I need to work the next day. And I got to go to school the next day. And I simply went into the bathroom all by myself. We had a studio apartment. And I simply asked God, I said, God, I'm going to ask you right now. I've seen all these miracles around me, full gospel businessman. I need a healing. I need it right now. I'm going to thank you for healing me. And then I said, amen. I went to bed. I woke up in the morning. Pain gone. The swelling was gone. I said, praise God. So, went to class in the morning from about 8 to 12. Had lunch. Went out to clean the house. And I said, well, now, I believe I'm healed. I'm going to test it. So I took the biggest chair I could find, and I lifted it up. No problem. From that day on, I never had a problem. I said, this is fantastic. Now, as I was shaving, this is about the same time, in the morning, I noticed I had a finger wart on my eyelid. One of these ugly things that stuck out, maybe a quarter of an inch. And I was looking at that, and I says, well, you know what? I'm going to curse that thing. So I stood in front of the mirror. I pointed my finger, and I said, in the name of Jesus, I curse you. Die and fall off. Then I went my business. The next morning I was going to shave. As I was shaving, I said, well, where's that finger wart? It's gone. Amen. Now, I can give you many different things, but I just want to start it with this, that we for years, we lived in the supernatural, but you know what happened? I was an eagle flying. But then, I started associating with a lot of turkeys. And turkeys walk on the ground. They don't fly. And you know, we got away from the supernatural. And we want to go back to it. Now, let me take you to John chapter 2, verse number 1 through 11. We're going to talk about the miracles of Jesus. There's John 2, 1. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called a disciple to the marriage. They were invited. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. Now, there's a debate if this was fermented wine or just fresh grape juice. We do not know. But if it was fermented, it was about 2 to 3%. That's all they could do at that time. Jesus said to her, woman, what have I to do with you? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother said to the servants, whatsoever he says unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner a purifying of Jews containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Matter of fact, 135 gallons. 3 firkins is equal to 135 gallons of water. Look in verse number 7 there. And Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water of the made wine, knew not whence it was, but the servant who drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, every man at the beginning set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but you have kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and disciples believed on him. As we move into the time of the Antichrist, we're going to need some miracles. And Jesus said, you're going to do greater things than I've done. So, if we need something, we should be able to take water and pray over it. And I've shared this story with you many times. I just shared briefly again with you. And this is at the time when we went to seminary, 69-70-71. We were so excited. And I remember one morning, we were going to have breakfast. And we had little milk cartons. And I took out the milk carton from the refrigerator. And it had just a little tiny bit in it. I said, oh, no. We don't have milk for the cereal. She said, shut up. I'm going to pray. She took that milk carton and she prayed and asked God to fill it up. And then she said, now, here's your milk. She poured to me. She poured to her. She poured to her again. She poured to me. We got milk. It was created. I knew we had just a tiny bit in that carton. And God must have put in enough that we had it. After we were done, there was still milk in the carton. So I believe that this can happen. I've seen it. At the Full Gospel Businessman meeting, there was a gentleman that shared a testimony. And I heard it. I believed it. I don't believe the guy was lying. He simply said this. He was out riding his motorcycle. And he was out cruising in the countryside. And suddenly, he ran out of gas. So he checked the tank. He was dry like snuff. He took his helmet and went down. There was a creek. He went down to the creek, filled the helmet up with water, came back to the motorcycle, and said, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for converting this water into gasoline. And then he poured it into the tank, put the lid on, started the bike, fired up, and he rode all the way back to town on gasoline from water. Now, I know I'm stretching some people's minds saying, well, you know, that's not possible. With God, all things are possible. Let me take an F to Matthew 14. Matthew chapter 14. Now you got a choice. You can sit at home and shake over the coronavirus, say, I don't dare to go this or that, you know, and so on, and have no faith, and you will have nothing. Or you can simply say, I'm going to rise. My Jesus is powerful. Matthew 14. Verse number 14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed the sick. Notice now, with all the gifts that Jesus did, heal the sick, cast out demons, heal the blind, raise the dead, cure the lepers, of all the miracles, salvation is for eternity. All the other things is for here and now. Because Jesus knew that we have physical bodies. We need supernatural healing in order to stay alive and be able to function. Remember this. No body, no ministry. You lose your body, no ministry. And so Jesus made a provision and said, part of the ministry of the church that he set up is to make sure that we have healings for the physical body. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals or food. But Jesus said to them, they need not to depart. You give them to eat. And they said to him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You're looking at 5,000 people, plus women and children, about 15,000 people. Jesus said to them, Mark verse 18, bring them hither to me. They came up, and they gave him 5 loaves, 2 fishes. By the way, the fishes were already fried. They were cooked. Jesus stood there now, and he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. He didn't start producing the food. He said, now, had them to sit down, put them in batches of 50, I want order. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. He looked up into heaven. He blessed and broke and gave the loaves to his disciples, his disciples to the multitude. I want you to see this now. Jesus standing, taking loaves, breaking off a piece, and multiplying it. He created baked bread. Then he took the fishes, fried fish, and he took them and began to break them, and he created fried fish, ready-made food. Look at the next verse. I lost my place here at this moment. Let me go to Matthew 14:21. Okay, there we go. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Why did Jesus do that? He wanted to show his disciples the power he had. And how in the future they could do the very thing. Now, I can feel in my spirit that many of you that are watching are simply saying this, you know, I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure about that. And that's the problem. You see, you have not seen miracles. You read the Bible, but you don't believe it. You believe, oh, it might have happened at the time of Jesus, but you know, this is now. And that's why the church is crippled. Because we don't have faith. And we don't step out in faith. Let me take you now to Matthew 14:23. Matthew 14:23. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. Here's Jesus now, walking on water. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. and they cried out of fear. Hey, buddy, fear. You're sitting and watching me today, you have fear. It cripples you. Fear is not from God, it's from the devil. Fear is faith in Satan. Faith is believing in God. But straightway, Jesus speaking and saying, be good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Hey, folks, it's me, Jesus. I didn't have a boat, so I just walked on the water to get to you. And Peter answering him and said, Lord, if that be you, bid me to come unto you in the water. Of all the people in that boat, 12 disciples, Peter said, hey, Jesus, if that you, ask me to come out, I want to walk too. And he said, come. And when Peter would come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. He did fine. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, caught him and said to him, O you a little faith, wherefore did you doubt? Now, that's our problem today. That's the problem we've had for a long time. We don't believe that God can do things. We have seen no miracles, no power. And we are turkeys. And we simply think, well, you know, nothing's really happening. And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they were in the ship, came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, you are the Son of God. When are you going to start believing the Bible? You know, I hear people say this, but we believe the Bible from cover to cover. Most people do not. That's a lie. You believe certain things, and other things you do not believe. Let's be truthful. Let's be honest. We need to have a correction. Turn me right now to Acts chapter 12. The book of Acts chapter 12. And familiar verses here. Book of Acts chapter 12. And we're going to land in verse number 1. Now about that time, Herod, the king, stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. The church was just having a good time. Boom! The apostle John was arrested, taken into the prison. Immediately, they cut his head off. Do you realize that? It was not John, James, excuse me. The Apostle James, brother of John. James spent 3 years with Jesus. He never had a chance to live out his life as an apostle. He was wiped out early. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. There were the days of the unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, delivering the four quadrants of soldiers to keep him in tent of ease to the bringing forth to the people. People that was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing at the church or to God for him. Picture this now, Peter shackled hands to soldiers. There were four squads right in that prison. He was not going to make it out. If that would have been you, you would have said, I'm done. They're going to cut my head off tomorrow. I can't get out of this. It's impossible. But the church was praying. This time, they realized, we got to pray now. We need a miracle. We can't lose one more apostle. And when Herod had brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keeper before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him. A light shined in the prison. He smote Peter on the side, raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly," and his chains fell off. And he said to him, "Gird yourself, get your clothes on, bind on your sandals." And so he did. And he said to him, "Cast your garment about you and follow me." And he went out to follow him and did not know that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. Peter said, "Man, I'm dreaming. I'm dreaming." When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leads into the city, which opened to them of its own accord. They didn't have any electric motors in those days that opened and closed the gates. That was an angel. Open. They passed out through one street, and for the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel, has delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all expectation of the people of the Jews." And then he came to the other, but the other word they didn't believe, and they thought, that's his spirit, he's dead. Now, does that happen today? It happened in China about 15 years ago. It was a Chinese Christian pastor. I can't remember his name right now, so I'm not going to try to say something wrong. But this man had been very effective. He had started a number of house churches. He had miracles. And they finally arrested him. And in order to really do him in, they laid him down and they broke both legs between the knee and the foot. And then they set him in the prison. He couldn't walk. He got no help. He was sitting in a prison. This was a very secure prison. It was in a city. And one night, the Holy Spirit came to him and said, "Tomorrow, you're going to walk out." He said, "Yes, Lord." This man had faith. Remember now, two broken bones. The morning came, and he was told by the Spirit, "Stand up." And he stood up. Instantly, his legs were healed. The Spirit told him, "Go and stand by the cell door." He went to the cell door. A guard came to open to bring something into the prisoners. The cell door opened. The Spirit said, "Walk out." He walked out of the cell. The guard did not see him. The Spirit, Holy Spirit told him not to walk down a certain hallway. He came down. There were lots of doors inside the prison. He came down to one particular door, and he was told to just stand there and wait. Then the door opened. Guards were coming to go through, and the Holy Spirit said, "Just walk through that door." The guards didn't see him. He came down on the prison yard, and the Holy Spirit said, "Just walk up to the gate, the entrance." He walked up to the entrance. The gate was open. He walked right through it. The guards did not see him. He came out on the street, and here came a taxi. He put his hand up. He didn't have any money. He got in a taxi, and he said, he had an address of some Christians. He said, "Take me to that place, and I get some money there, they will pay you." The taxi took him there. He got into that place, got the money, paid him off, And here he was now, the people said, how did you get here? He said, well, I just walked out of prison. Impossible. Well, I'm here. So then the Holy Spirit said, you cannot stay in the city. Immediately, they took him and they brought him out to another place. That night in the prison, when they were counting the prisoners, they said, where's this guy? We don't know. They said, he evaporated. The communists got so mad, they closed down the city, and they went to house because he was a very prominent Christian pastor. They said, we got to get him. But he was gone. Then the Holy Spirit said to him, you can't stay in China. I want to use you in another place. So he went down, came into Hong Kong before the communists had taken over that, supernaturally got into Hong Kong. From there, he came over to Europe, and he has a tremendous ministry in Europe right now, in different countries. Now, how many churches, there's a book on him. How many churches in America would talk about that? I would say zero. Because if a pastor gets up and preaches that, the church is going to say, well, why don't we see more of this? Well, you know, we don't believe the Bible. So what I want to tell you simply does. Do not think about the past. Do not think about what you have not seen. Start believing and saying, I'm going to look at what I'm going to see in the future. And it's going to start today. Let me talk about the supernatural right now. The Holy Spirit showed me that it would be impossible for Christians to survive on their own during the time of the Antichrist. God is going to use angels and the Holy Spirit to lead and guide his people, performing supernatural miracles so we can survive. And I want to read here, you got Mark here, you got it in the scripture here on the outline. And Jesus said to them, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and set on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming their word with signs following. Amen. God will confirm his word. He will not confirm you, but he will confirm his word if you stand on the word. I want to share two incidents in my life because I want you to understand that I've seen the supernatural. I'm still trying to walk in the supernatural. I take you back to 1973. I take you back to Germany. We had a van. We were 14 people in that van. We had had a week's revival on an army base outside Frankfurt, Germany. We were on our way driving up the Autobahn to Sweden, where we were going to have meetings. In those days on the Autobahn, there was no speed limit, whatever you wanted to do. So we had this Chevy van. And I was cruising between 70 and 80 miles an hour. And we were just moving out on the Autobahn, which is the freeway. So there was a big truck, one of the semi-trucks. And so I was just coming down, well over like this. I was flying. And just as I came up to, I was coming up to his rear end. Where I was sitting, when I looked over to the front, And I saw his front wheel simply fell off and went bouncing over to the middle of the freeway. Now, I was doing 80 miles an hour. There's no way I could stop. All the people's eyes were, and the only thing I heard in the van was, "Jesus! Jesus!" And then, now this is a split second. I had seen the truck beginning to tilt over, and then the truck was lifted up again. It was running perfect without the wheel. And we shot through. And I had no sooner shot through, I looked at the rear window, and there was a truck tumbling and just crashed over to the median and rolled over. We looked at each other, and we said, "That was a miracle." It really was. I never forgot it. And all we did, we cried out in unison, "Jesus," or we would have had a tremendous wreck with the speed we were doing, a big semi coming down and tilting on us. Some of us would have died, and that would have been the end of the Crusades for that year. But God had a plan. Now, let me take you up now a couple of weeks later. This is now 1973, and the Vietnam War was going, and people in Europe were crazy. There were demonstrations, death to the Americans, get out of Vietnam, Yankee, go home. And I decided to take the van and all the people into Stockholm, the capital of Sweden. We were going to go from the south up north, and I thought, I'll show them to the capital, you know. So I'm driving in there, and then suddenly, there's a bunch of people in front of me. The street is just choked. I look around, and suddenly, we are in a sea of people. On the sides of us, behind us, and they're all screaming, "Death to the Americans! Yankees, go home! Kill them!" And I realized we were in a demonstration of crazy Swedes that were angry and they were looking for Americans. And I thought, man, on the side of the bus we had "Jesus is coming soon." We had all kind of writings on it in English. And I looked around and I said, "Let's pray." I said, "God, we need to get out of here. Blind them." Would you believe? They were screaming. They were so bad. They were burning the American flag. They didn't see the van. And then it was like an angel part of the crowd. And I eased up front, and it was a side street, and I was able to drive out, and they never saw us. I said, "Thank you, Jesus." That they would have taken us out of the van. They would have beaten us up. They would have burned the van. We knew that was a miracle. I can stand here almost all day long and share with you different miracles. But I want to share a thing. This is personal. I experienced it. I know it was true. And I know what God can do. How do you get prepared now? Number one, look on the outline. You got to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. This is a must. If you have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, start praying for it. I don't have time today to explain how to be baptized in the Spirit, but you can read the book of Acts, chapter 1, chapter 2, and it talks about there. Second, expect God to move supernaturally in your life on a daily basis. Let me talk about finances. Because money is the last thing that we really believe in. Now, my wife is in the care home. She's been in there for 7 months. And I had no choice. And a care home is $5,000 a month. So I was thinking before I had to commit to her, I said, God, I said, you know, if Ina goes bad and she goes into dementia, then into worse, I said, it's going to destroy our finances. Because we only had about $3,500 on our Social Security that I could apply to that. My regular salary takes care of mortgage and stuff like this. And I said, but God, I said, I'm going to pray about this. Lord, you're going to have to take care of this. I cannot do it. I don't have the resources. The Lord said, write a letter, share it with the people that are supporting the minister. So I wrote a letter, send it out. And a number of people said, you know, well, we put in, you know, $20, $50, $75, whatever it is. And now, 7 months later, God has supplied $5,000 extra every month. And he took care of it. I've been able to pay off my credit cards that we had, Ian and I. I don't have any debts right now. That's a miracle. Now, how did it happen? God moved upon people. I had one person living, I'm not going to give the state, but it's not California. And I've got an email one day from a person sending to our regular minister email saying, you know, I want to have the pastor's email. So they gave it. So I got an email. I've been listening to you on YouTube for about 6 months. God is changing my life. I'm excited. This week, God spoke to me that I am going to support you personally and take care of your needs. Well, you get stuff like that, you know, you says, oh, yeah, that sounds too good. So I wrote the guy back. He asked me, what are your needs? I said, well, I got my wife in a care home. He said, no sweat. I will help you out. And sure enough, every month, he's helping out. I never met him. God spoke to him audibly and said, you are to take care of Pastor Terrell's personal finances. Not the ministry, but his personal finances. God is working a miracle business. 1 John 4:4. 1 John 4:4. 1 John 4:4. In the Revelation, that's not where I want to go. 1 John 4:4. Here we go. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. We have the Holy Spirit in us. Now, let me share one more financial miracle with you. I had a life insurance that I paid into building up equity. And every year I got more expenses. So I decided when I'm 70 years old, I'm going to, or 75, whatever it was, I'm going to cash it in. And I had dreamt about a new pickup truck. And we have a trailer that we went out on vacation, Ian and I. So I said, I'm going to take that money. I'm going to go to buy myself a new pickup truck. Well, Satan had other plans. So somebody rear-ended Ina's car. It was totaled out. And she now didn't have a car. The Holy Spirit said, take your truck money and buy her a car. Oh, that's my truck money. Do what I tell you. So, I bought her a car, about a year old. And she was happy. She had a lot of good time in that car. And I resigned to the fact that whatever pickup truck I was going to get, just flew away. So I'm sitting in my office one day. I got a phone call. Are you going to be in the office today? Yes. I'm coming down to see you. Oh, okay. I'm going to give you a truck. I said, what? I see you. This man walked into my office, took the keys, laid them down, and said, this truck is yours. I wanted to cry. I didn't know what to say. This is a Ford F-250. That's what I wanted, an F-250. It had all the things that I had dreamt of having. It was already on a truck. It was only about 2-3 years old. Less than 50,000 miles on it. And I just said, thank you, Jesus. I shared these things to build faith. I shared about finances. I shared about healings. I shared about miracles. Turn with me now to John 14:11. The Gospel of John 14:11. John 14:11. Jesus said, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Let's take some time here right now. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the work's sake. Do you believe that Jesus is God? Do you believe that we have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit? Verse 12. Verily, verily, not once. Verily means sincere, for sure. Jesus said, for sure, for sure. I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than he shall they do, because I go unto my Father. Let's slow down now. He that believes on me, is that you? Yes. The works that I do, shall he also do. What did Jesus do? We talk about walking on water, turning water into wine. We talk about doing food, healing the sick, casting out demons. And greater works than these shall you do because I go to my Father. Now, don't say that you believe the Bible from cover to cover unless you accept this verse and other verses and say, I believe this, I want it to happen in my life, and I want it to start happening now, not later. When I was at seminary, I heard a professor say the following, bless that dirty little hearts. This is what he said. When Jesus said this, he was talking about radio and television. Look what we're doing now, he said. We're all over the world with television and radio. We're doing greater works than Jesus did. Jesus would not talk about television and radio. He was talking about miracles, healings, casting out of demons. What I like to do in this ministry is I like to delegate. Now, I've trained Pastor Alexi into deliverance. He's been doing probably 20, 25 deliverances. I trained Carol. They're my deliverance team right now. They sat down last 2 weeks or 3 weeks using Skype, doing deliverance on a person in New Zealand. And then last week, doing deliverance on a person in Italy. Here they sit with cameras and stuff in our deliverance room, watching this person. And the Holy Spirit is using their prayer and healing and delivering these people from demons. I'm excited for having people in the ministry that got faith and are doing things. Then verse number 13. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now, if you simply say, well, I want to have a Ferrari, or I want to have a Learjet, that's not in God's will, unless you really need it. But whatsoever you shall ask in my name. What did we pray for here today? Carol came up here today, and she prayed for rain. She came up and prayed for that the coronavirus would be killed. We ask that in Jesus' name. I believe that that prayer, as we agreed with her, is going to happen. It's on its way. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Why did he want that? Because God wants to be glorified. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. I share with you a number of examples of what I asked for. And God simply did them. And then a qualifier. If you love me, keep my commandments. I could not live a sloppy life. I could not be out and drink and commit adultery and steal and do all kind of different things and says, okay, Jesus, I want the miracle. Forget that. If you love me, keep my commandments. I will pray the Father. He shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I want to share one more miracle with you. This goes back again to early 1970s. Catherine Kuhlman had a meeting in San Francisco at an auditorium. Some of you might say, well, Catherine Kuhlman was no good. She turned out later to go to the Catholic Church. But in the early days, she was right smack on. And so we had one of our wives at the seminar. This was the team members of ours. And she had a sickness and didn't want to heal. So we were coming in to do the auditorium, and I remember it. We were late. Place was packed. We stood at the just inside the doors of the back. That's where we stood. And we listened to the singing, and she started preaching. And then suddenly, she stopped. She said, lady, you there next to the door, in that dress, and she described a dress, right now, the power of God is going through you, being healed right now. Boom! Her name was Evie McEnroe. I was standing next to her. She was on the floor. No one touched her. Catherine Kuhlman got a word. And said, hey, you, right now you're getting healing. Later, as Evie got up, she was healed. Folks, I have seen too many supernatural healings. And I refuse to be a turkey. I want to fly. I want to go back into the miracles. And then we're going to close with Daniel 12:1. Daniel 12:1. You know, the sad thing is this, that some of you watching, you go like, oh, it's about done. That was a nice little sermon, that, you know. But, you know, it's not for me. I feel sorry for you. What a shame that you cannot get a hold of Jesus. In Daniel 12:1, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which stands for the children of your people. There shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to the same time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book of life. Michael, the great commander-in-chief in heaven, shall fight for the people that belongs to Jesus Christ. Now, this sermon will play out on YouTube and Vimeo for some years to come. And I pray that if this is 10 years from now, you hear this, or 15 years, or 25 years, that you are in the time of the Antichrist, that you will try to get into the Bible and simply says, well, I'm going to start believing. And here's how you start praying. God, help my unbelief. That's what a man said whose son was demonized. Jesus asked him, do you believe I can do it? And the man said, God, Jesus, help my unbelief. That's a good start. And say, Jesus, I don't have the faith. I don't really have seen anything. But I don't want to be a turkey anymore. I want to begin to rise. And I'm asking you right now, take me into the supernatural. And God will. He will hear your prayer. He will begin to take you in. And you're going to begin to have miracles in your life that you could not even dream of. But you have to have faith. Now, in closing, let me ask you this. Do you believe that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are in control? Do you believe they are stronger than the devil? Do you believe that Jesus, like he said, have all power in heaven and earth, has the keys to heaven and hell, to death and hell? Do you believe that? Then today, make a decision where you are at home. Whatever you are, make a decision and say, I'm going to change. I'm going to start believing this. And I'm going to ask you, help my unbelief. Jesus, minister to me. Holy Spirit, minister to me. And he will. And you will go from victory to victory. If you listen to me, you said, I'm not saved. How do I get in on this? Well, here's what you do. You simply say, God, I'm a sinner. And you know you are. I have sinned. I need a Savior. Forgive me. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that Jesus died on the cross, rose on the third day, and through his death and resurrection, I can be saved. Come on in, Jesus. Save me right now. And Jesus will. And then, when we finish here, the screen will change. Three crosses will come up on the screen. And you will hear the very nice voice of Pastor Charles Terrell coming on and say, my friend. And then he will take you through the plan of salvation and pray with you. Pray that prayer. Listen to him. And get saved today. And if that happened today, would you call me? Write to me. I'd like to know. Because I'd like to encourage you. And to those of you that are Christians, some of you are walking in the Lord. Some of you are having victory. But to some of you that simply says, well, this is new to me. Please pray. God, help my unbelief. Holy Spirit, work in me, and he will. Here's Brother Thomas to close.
Father God, thank you for the message here today and the facts that we are coming into times that are going to be unprecedented according to what the Bible says. And but we can walk in the supernatural. We don't have to carry any fear. And I just thank you for the word that will take you through and the Holy Spirit guidance that will take you through. And I want to come against all the mind control that is going on out there and all the scare tactics that are going on out there. I'm not succumbing to any of that. I mean, they are running specials and this and that, going to tell us how bad, you know, we need to be scared. So I rebuke all that in the name of Jesus. I'm not receiving none of your mind control game. And I thank you for blessing each and every person that came today and that tuned in and that will tune in the future to hear some truth. We thank you for our many blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send his Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers his love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, he will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, he will do for you. If you call out to him, he will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All he wants for you is to come to him. He will help anybody who calls out to him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, he will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the final part in the series, The Mark of the Beast, and was entitled, Living in the Supernatural. Jesus was able to convert water into wine by the power of His words. He created ready-made food with His hands as He spoke to God the Father. When there was a need, Jesus could walk on water. He could do anything. There was only one thing Jesus could not do: fail. Jesus expects His followers to walk in the supernatural. He stated as much in the Gospels of Mark and John. The baptism of the Holy Spirit was so important that He didn't want believers to begin their Christian service without it. Moreover, it will be impossible for Christians to survive without it during the time of the Antichrist. Now is the time to expect God to move supernaturally in your life. Jesus said that Christians would be able to do greater exploits than Him. You don't have to be afraid of sickness, death, or even the Antichrist with God on your side. If you walk with the Lord in the power of the Holy Spirit, you will be ready to actively resist the man of sin and his control system. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1746. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.